Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. Today we'll discuss the article by Belmonte et al. Titled, Cardiac Overexpression of MENA Exacerbates Heart Failure in Mice. This article published online July 5th, 2013. My guests today are Associate Editor Rongli Liao, Lead Author Burns Blaxel, and Expert Wally Koch. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. Welcome to this podcast. As we know, tissue-specific transgenic and gene knockout mouse model have contributed significantly to our understanding of the physiology and pathophysiology of the heart. In this paper, the author used such wonderful method to dissect the role of MENA in the development of heart failure secondary to pressure overload. To begin, I would like to ask Burns if you could please give us some key highlights of your study. Perhaps start with the what is the MENA?
MENA was actually discovered in a microarray study performed actually while I was in Dr. Koch's laboratory in Wally's lab. And we were trying to identify genes that were differentially expressed in the development and surgical regression or genetic regression of heart failure. And we found a list of genes, and on this gene was one we had not heard of previously, which was MENA, which is the mammalian homolog of Drosophila enabled. So the job of enabled in Drosophila is to help polarize the head from the tail of the fly. And it had previously been studied by Frank Gertler, who cloned the gene in Phil Soriano's lab. And he had found it played a role in migration of axons in neural development. So what we found was that the MENA was overexpressed in heart failure. And then when there was surgical or in mice, transgenic regression of heart failure, there appeared to be a reduction in its expression. So in this paper, we chose to overexpress the gene using a transgenic approach that is inducible. And what we found was that when MENA was overexpressed, to levels similar to what's observed in heart failure at baseline, there appeared to be no overt effects. What we did find was that when these mice that had excess expression of MENA compared to the wild types, to the level of what's observed in heart failure, they responded poorly to a surgical pressure overload model of heart failure in that they had reduced cardiac function and some pathophysiology and hypertrophy. We also turned the gene off right before we induced the surgical model of heart failure and found that in doing so, we didn't completely prevent the decrease in cardiac function observed in the MENA overexpressors, but we did see a reduction in the hypertrophy. So, you know, in a brief summary, it appears that MENA overexpression does play a key role in the progression of heart failure, and that its reduction in the face of that may reduce hypertrophy, and in long term, it may also improve outcomes.
Thank you, Burns, for this wonderful overview of your article. So I would like to ask now, Wally, you are the leading expert in the myocardial cellular signaling regulation, and even more excitingly, this MENA is initially identified in your laboratory. What's your view on this subject?
Thanks, Rongli. This is a very interesting paper, and I have several questions and comments. So, so the bottom line is, what's interesting to me and what stands out is in the regulatable system, and you normalized the MENA levels. So you stopped the overexpression, which eliminated the hypertrophy, but it still did not prevent the failure. So that's obviously very interesting, and speaks to the potential complexity of MENA in cellular regulation. And one of the hypotheses you pointed out in your paper was perhaps regulation of microdomain signaling, because microdomain signaling in regards to calcium regulation is very important, as we know. But just what's your thoughts on this, on how microdomain signaling components or signaling cascades may play a role?
Sure. It's a great question. So we have not looked at microdomain calcium signaling to date. As we saw in the paper, modifying MENA either before or after the injury did not appear to modulate our favorite signaling cascade, the beta adrenergic receptors. So the expression was not changed there. the signaling downstream of them does not appear to be changed. Mina's main role in the cell is to cap F-actin filaments and to serve as a liaison between the cytoskeleton and the cell membrane. So one of the things that we are working on right now is when Mina is knocked down or absent, what happens to the regulation of the cytoskeleton, particularly when cells get pulled on or if they are migrating. So we've shown previously that Mina plays a role in stabilizing proteins at the intercalated disc. And right now we're actually working on data that suggests that modulating Mina may affect pathways that include connexin 43, as well as RAC signaling that is important in maintaining connexin 43 at the intercalated disc. We also have some work that we're doing in cellular migration, particularly in cardiac fibroblasts, since they're important in migrating into the injury zone of the heart. To look at that, our data suggests that the signaling that we want to focus on is one that is hypertrophic. And your question is quite pertinent of whether we've looked at calcium, and we hope to do that in the future.
So I'm very interested in these part of the study where you introduced this phosphomutant Mina. Mm-hmm. And this didn't lead to any big changes, but since Mina it has this actin binding and interacting capabilities, are there other residues that you might want to mutate in the future that may give some clues on the mechanism?
Yes, there are actually a few other residues of phosphorylation and probably of greater interest. A lot more splice variants discovered in the past year in collaboration with Frank Ertler. So as of right now, there appear to be probably 5 splice variants. We chose in this study to focus on the major splice variant. But upon further investigation, we do observe at least 2 other splice variants in the heart. We have not validated whether they are more in fibroblasts or myocytes. My suspicion is that one of them is actually a more fibroblast focused based on some unpublished data from Dr. Gertler. So we have a lot of work cut out for us to really understand who plays the most important role, whether it's the phosphorylation and activation at the site we mutated or at these new sites, or if there are splice variants either in concert with or independent of the phosphorylation that will prove to be of greater importance in future studies.
So thank you very much. Bernd, just one more question. Was wondering if you think the role of Mina is disease specific, and could you speculate its role in the setting of such as a coronary artery disease, for example?
We certainly cannot rule out a role for Mina in coronary artery disease, particularly based on the data that it does play a role in endothelial barrier dysfunction. And if Mina is dysregulated in coronary artery disease, one can imagine that if those endothelial barriers are broken, things like leukocyte rolling will be reduced. There will be more leukocytes and development of CAD. So I do think that, like many of the genes we study, Mina may not be 100% disease specific, but I do think that it is going to play a pathogenic role in a number of cardiovascular disease states.
So congratulations, Burns and Carly, for this wonderful articles. And thank you, Wally and Burns, for this lively discussion. Carol, back to you.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.